From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Welcome you to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. On today's program, we continue a series of studies in the Law of God, messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina, and founder of Let the Bible Speak. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought taken from Charles Haddon Spurgeon's collection called Morning by Morning.
This morning's meditation is found in Jeremiah chapter 32 and verse 41. I will rejoice over them to do them good. How heart-cheering to the believer is the delight which God has in His saints. We cannot see any reason in ourselves why the Lord should take pleasure in us. We cannot take delight in ourselves, for we often have to groan being burdened, conscious of our sinfulness and deploring our unfaithfulness. And we fear that God's people cannot take much delight in us, for they must perceive so much of our imperfections and our follies that they may rather lament our infirmities than admire our graces. But we love to dwell upon this transcendent truth, this glorious mystery, that as the bridegroom rejoiceth over the bride, so does the Lord rejoice over us. We do not read anywhere that God delighteth in the cloud-capped mountains or the sparkling stars, but we do read that He delighteth in the habitable parts of the earth, and that His delights are with the sons of men. We do not find it written that even angels give His soul delight, nor doth He say concerning cherubim and seraphim, Thou shalt be called Hephzibah, for the Lord delighteth in thee. But He does say it to all poor fallen creatures like ourselves, debased and depraved by sin, but saved, exalted, and glorified by His grace. In what strong language He expresses His delight in His people! Who could have conceived of the Eternal One as bursting forth into a song? Yet it is written, He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in His love. He will joy over thee with singing. As He looked upon the world He had made, He said, It is very good. But when He beheld those who are the purchase of Jesus' blood, His own chosen ones, it seemed as if the great heart of the infinite could restrain itself no longer, but overflowed in divine exclamations of joy. Should not we utter our grateful response to such a marvelous declaration of His love, and sing, I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation.
Sing, hallelujah, sing, oh, lift up your voice to God, hallelujah. In 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, we read, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and will heal their land." In these days when the forces of evil are devastating our land, God's people need to pray. More than that, we must engage in united prayer. Just as the apostles and the early church were of one accord gathering for prayer, the cry for our day must be, "Let us pray." To encourage the Lord's people to this end, Let the Bible Speak is pleased to offer a new publication entitled The Case for United Prayer. Presented within its pages are excerpts from the works of Jonathan Edwards, Samuel Prime, and Pastor Richard Cross. The centerpiece of the book is Samuel Prime's first-hand account of the famous New York City prayer meetings of 1857, begun by one man, Jeremiah Lanfear. This simple effort was blessed by God until prayer meetings sprang up all over the nation and ushered in a mighty revival that spread across the sea to Great Britain, culminating in the great 1859 revival in Northern Ireland. To obtain your copy of The Case for United Prayer, free of charge, simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. If you prefer regular mail, simply write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your copy of The Case for United Prayer, and we'll be happy to provide it. As Dr. Alan Cairns continues his series in the love of God, he brings the final portion of a message entitled, Loving Ourselves. Christ summed up the law in two statements, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. In explaining the nature of true love for self, Dr. Cairns has shown that the man who disregards God cannot love himself properly. As we love God, we'll see ourselves as He sees us. Then we'll not be derailed by difficult circumstances. In the end, our happiness depends on walking with God. Now here is Dr. Cairns to conclude this message, Loving Ourselves.
Oftentimes it's not God's will to lift us out of our problems. That's very difficult for any of us to accept. Satan, without mercy, will hit you when you're weakest. He'll put in his own pernicious lies. He'll tempt you to imagine that God is against you. And he'll cause you to despair and to regard yourself in a light very different from the gospel's description of you. So how do we as Christians maintain a proper regard for ourselves in such situations? Listen to the answer of Scripture. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 3. Consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. If I could retranslate those final words, lest ye become weary, being enfeebled in your soul. Do we not know something about that? Some of you live with chronic pain. Some of you don't know what it is to have a day free from agony. You see other people do things, go places, undertake projects that would fill your heart. But for you it's forbidden territory. There's many and many a time in the bleakness of a deteriorating situation threatens to unbalance your thinking completely. What do? Consider Christ. Consider Christ. And as you consider Christ, who endured so much, understand that sometimes it is our sufferings that glorify God and not their removal. Paul could make this statement and give this command in Hebrews 12 because of what he had just said at the end of Hebrews 11. He makes it plain from verse 33 to 38. Notice verse 33 through 35. He says, some saints, through faith, subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens, and women received their dead raised to life again. What a chronicle. And that's the crowd I want to be among. Am I right? That's the crowd you want to be among. When we're in trouble, we pray and we get deliverance. When we're in pain, we pray and the pain is gone. When somebody dies in the family, we pray and God raises them to life. Happen to these people. We all want to be with them. The enemy comes against us, we go out in the name of the Lord and we just put them to flight. Doesn't always happen that way. Read on, verse 35 to 38. Others were tortured. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourging, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned and sawn asunder. By the way, that's a very literal description of what happened to them. Sawn asunder. Tempted, slain with the sword. They wandered in sheepskins and goatskins. They were destitute, afflicted, and tormented. Some had these miraculous answers to prayer. Others, it appeared, God didn't hear them. They suffered. Two very, very different results. And yet the thing is this, both companies acted by such great faith that God celebrates their faith in Hebrews 11. You would think to hear some preachers today that the second group were in defeat, but they weren't. Both of these peoples loved the Lord. Both were equally good, and both were equally triumphant. Some were triumphant in their deliverance, others were triumphant in their suffering. Some have to learn that they could glorify God more by suffering than being freed from it. And this is the crucial part. Because they loved the Lord more than they loved themselves, they cheerfully accepted as well. They didn't conclude they were worthless or useless. In fact, the scripture adds this little part about them of whom the world was not worthy. Didn't say that about the first group. God actually draws your attention to the worth to Him. If not to the world, the worth to Him of His suffering people. What they bore out of love for Christ. And that enabled them to maintain a true regard for themselves in life's darkest passage. So, a true love for God will enable us to maintain true regard for ourselves, even in dire situations. And as I close, let me say the converse is also true. What do I mean? A true love for ourselves will move us, irrespective of our circumstances, to maintain our fellowship with the Lord and walk with Him in love. Carnal ease often leads Christians to neglect the Bible, to neglect private prayer, public prayer. The Bible takes note of this. The Lord warns His people, when you come into the land of fullness and fatness and plenty and prosperity, beware that you forget not the Lord. Carnal ease may lead to such neglect, but a true love for our souls and a true love for ourselves will never lead us to such neglect. You see the difference? You can love carnal ease and lie in your bed when you should be out to pray, or simply kick your feet up when you should be out to worship, or to work, or to witness. Carnal ease can rob you of all those things, but that's far from having a true love for yourself. Cosseting yourself with the things of the world is not true love for yourself. You love yourself in a biblical way. You'll find that it's in walking with God that you find relief from sin's pollution and power, because you walk in fellowship with Him and know the cleansing of His blood. It's in walking with God that your soul is refreshed and it's made joyful. See, if you're saved, you want to be happy, right? Now tell me honestly, can you as a Christian be happy when you're out of sorts with God? Can you as a Christian be happy when you can't pray? And the Bible may as well be written in double Dutch because you can't get anything out of it. Can you be happy without any sense of the Lord's presence? Without any enjoyment of the Lord's fellowship? This is the mark of a true believer. There's nothing in this world that makes a Christian more quickly miserable to lose the sight of the Savior's face. By walking with God, that we're happy. So a true love for ourselves will drive us to walk with Him, unlike carnal ease that will make us forget Him. Love yourself. Love yourself. Not your sins, not your follies, but love your own body, your own soul. God commands you to do so. Love yourself with a love that expresses a true knowledge of Him, a true trust in Him, and a true delight in Him. And that would sound to be an easy commandment to keep, wouldn't it? If you could ever keep any of the law of God, you'd think you could keep that one. Love yourself. The fact of the matter is, you can't even fulfill that one except by faith in Christ. again, I repeat, get back to the cross. Get back to the cross. If you don't know Christ tonight, come to know Him there. If you do know Christ, come to know Him more deeply there. When you get to the cross, you'll love the Lord. And when you love the Lord, then will you begin to love yourself in Him and because of Him. May God bless His Word to all our hearts. Teach us to love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our strength, with all our very being, and love ourselves because we love Him. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Let's all pray. Father in heaven, bless Thy word to every heart. How we thank Thee for Thy love for us in Christ. We can't understand how God could love such unlovely creatures, but Thou hast loved us greatly. Oh Lord, we thank Thee for every soul in this meeting whom Thou hast saved. Tonight we can say, I love the Lord because He first loved me. I love the Lord because He hath heard my voice, my supplication. O Lord, we pray, help us to walk in the light of that love. We confess that Thy people are bombarded in every hand. They're tempted to despair. Lord, teach us the gospel and let us live our lives in the light thereof. Hear our prayer, give fruit to the preaching of Thy word, we pray, and part us with Thy very richest blessing, be our abiding portion tonight and evermore. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us at 1-864-244-2408. That's 1-864-244-2408. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there's a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.